yo. Hey yo, hey yo, hey yo, personally I think I'm underrated if nothing else. Hey yo, personally I think I'm underrated if nothing else. Hey yo, personally I think I'm underrated if. Hey yo, personally I think I'm underrated if nothing else.
Gentlemen, boys and girls, dudes and dudettes, the sexy and the not-so-sexy, big children and little. I'm the novelist, author, poet, Lamont Anthony Wright, a.k.a. Graffiti Blue. Today we celebrate the birth of hip-hop culture, born from the Zulu Nation on November 12, 1973, and uniting the graffiti. There is a lot to talk about. I got the MC, poet, writer, lyricist, Rob J in the house. I got my man, the Gat, up in this bitch in hip-hop culture. Basically, since my friend Sharkey and Von Lynn gave me complete autonomy and my own job, basically do one of the two. And these are the two cats that are the hottest in Sacramento. And first, we're going to get into it like this. There's a lot of problems with hip-hop culture. We're going to start with the problems, and we're going to end up with the solutions. Welcome to Just My Thoughts. How can I make your ugly beautiful? First, I have to go to that ugly place, put it in verse, and then give it perspective. Raw dog, no contraceptive, so that I can give birth to a beautiful truth. My beautiful truth, to be exact. Since we are all aware of the fact that my truth and your truth are probably not the same. So many poets and promoters so eager to jump up in this game, blinded by the artistic vision, blinded by the flashing lights. I'd be like P. Diddy. But you wouldn't do an internship or take a train ride into the city. You see, there's even an art to being a gangster for the paper. I'm willing to put the work in counterfeit becomes the caper. Without having any integrity for the creative process, investing in nonsense, short money, talking fast, and acting fun. These big dummies. Some write awards for themselves that don't exist. Some claim to be on the bestseller list. Trying to get love from the fans, ugly like a missed dunk from a player trying to be flashy, who could have won the game with an assist. What part of the game is this? You done lost your mind thinking all disposable. This is a lyrical lobotomy to see if you have any brains left in you. Ew, it's ugly in there too. All I see are thoughts filled with a slave's mentality. Every time I say, yo, we free, you turn around and get mad at me. Metaphorically and systematically trying to make slaves out of the rest of us. Filling the game with mistrust and disgust, lust brought you here to this ugly place. But you ain't talking about hot bars, though. You're talking about sold-out shows without buying into the concept of practice. And it's really okay if you happen to lack this caliber of skill to spring forward so your time falls back quick. What good is fame being in it if it's only for 15 minutes? Minute 16 shows no traces of your career. And I find it hard not to stare because the ugly doesn't stop there. Ugly is everywhere. It's at the open mic sitting in the captain's chair. Making the dope spinners like Rob J and Gatlin wait while the mediocre verse is filling the air. You know, I can go on and on making you feel bad like I don't have a care. But I've got a job to do. And remember, this piece of art is to turn your ugly into something beautiful. Besides, there's something more uglier than artists not getting paid at the venue. There's that ugly that hides inside the bold bluffs of the fearful. Steady fronting like they prepared to be reckless when in reality they're being overly careful. knowledge of self was left so far behind on this trip that they can't see themselves in the rear view. I understand that they don't know any better, and that's why I overstand you. The fear of pain, the fear of love, the fear of not being a success can make you see what is there and make you fold under the stress. But you artists that front have a way of making yourself look overly careful. That's why I took it to the streets and parked the metaphors parallel so that this artist could expose you, breaking you down like the pies you should have sliced for my team that uses art as their profession. And now that the team ate every crumb on the pie plate, let's get right back to the question. How can I make your ugly beautiful? Testimony is the start. I observe your wicked ways, and then I turn them into art. What up, Gat? What up, Rob J?
What's happening?
First, I'm going to start with you, Gat. Right. What's your first memory of hip-hop?
First memory of hip-hop. Honestly, the first, songs?
When somebody says hip-hop, like, what's your earliest memory?
Beat Street.
Beat Street. I'm a rocker.
What was the Fat Boys movie? That was like one of my favorite movies too.
I remember that joint.
What was the name of that movie?
Disorderly,
I think it was.
Right?
Was that the name of the movie?
Yeah, Disorderly. Yeah, I was slow.
Yeah,
I don't even remember the name.
That is way back.
Those were, you know, as far as visualizing what hip hop was, that's as far as music is concerned. But then, you know, you think about hip hop, you know, a lot of movies growing up were hip hop influenced. You know, you think New Jack City, you think Juice,
no doubt.
You know what I'm saying? You think Boys in the Hood,
no doubt.
Those have the artists that we grew up listening to in those movies, and that just kind of made you tune in to that artist, you know what I mean? You know, New Jack City, it had the old New Jack swing going on with that thing, you know what I mean?
Right, they was killing with the New Jack swing,
right.
Boy.
And that was like, God, you know what I mean? You know,
yeah.
Made it cool to wear a gum because, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? You know, Juice had pocket hair at his early time, you know what I mean? And I think at the time when, you know, Juice and Above the Rim and all was coming out, I wasn't even really listening to Tupac's music. You know what I'm saying?
No, I met Tupac on screen before I really started digging deep into his music.
Right.
You know what I mean? I think he was a good actor, which, man, without mistake, he's a better poet, MC.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I mean? But, I mean, he can do it all the way. He's a very talented brother. R.I.P. to Tupac.
I didn't really tune into Pac until All Eyes on Me, honestly. And then it made me go back to Me Against the World, and, you know, I started listening to the Above the Rim soundtrack, and you know that good stuff. Yeah, movies like that made me tune into the artists that were involved in the movies. You know, Ice Cube, you know, big influence. You know, Ice T.
No doubt. Now let me put it into perspective for the people out there in Radio Land. For all of you and within the sound of my voice, I am New York born and raised, born in the Bronx, raised in Manhattan. I now am sitting very comfortably in sunny California, and the West definitely has something to say. Gat, you born and raised on the West Coast?
Born and raised Sacramento, California.
That's what's up, Rob J. You born and raised in the West Coast?
West Coast. I was born in Oakland.
Okay.
I lived most of my life in Sacramento.
Okay, Rob J., what's your earliest memory of hip hop?
My earliest memory of hip hop, probably the way he did videos was just mainly.
No. That opens up a can of worms. Definitely get. He's in the middle school. What I call the middle school now. He's not old school, but he's definitely middle school.
Yeah, if we go farther back than that, I would say I'd have to go with Public Enemy.
Right.
You know, everyone talks about N.W.A., but the first people to get on the cops is Public Enemy.
And Chuck D. I think, on a personal note, Public Enemy was probably the most gangster of all groups.
Yeah.
I remember, I forget what country banned Public Enemy from coming there, but Chuck and Flavor and the S1Ws was like, we're going anyway.
Right.
That's crazy to
me.
You know what I mean? Like, you could drive through anybody's hood, You, right. You strap right, you know what I mean? Right, right. But to go to somebody's country after being banned is pretty gangster. My earliest memory of hip hop is, you know what I mean? I just remember the Park Gems in Far Rockaway, Queens. And, you know, dudes would just be stealing electricity from the telephone pole. You know what I mean? And, you know, the DJs at the time, peace to Auburn Projects, Edgemere Projects, Redburn Projects, 5505 Beach Channel Drive. And I could say my address on the radio because I don't live there no more. I'm just saying. And tell people your name and where you're from, my man. My Gat Boys man.
Oh, what's happening, man? It's Toronto King Chief, man. Same place, man. Glenn Elder, Sacramento, California, born and raised.
That's what's up, man. What's your earliest memory of hip hop?
Oh, man, my earliest memory, I probably have to get with NWA.
Okay.
I probably have to get with NWA because that was something that I gravitated to that I wasn't supposed to at that time. They was trying to keep us from listening to that, and that just made me want to listen even more. I mean, once I took a bite of it, I was
and that's funny how that works, right? When somebody says, "Oh, don't listen to so and so," they are bad, especially when you're a badass teenager yourself.
Definitely.
You will definitely go listen to that. All right, we're gonna go now. There are elements to hip hop. Hip hop is a culture. Hip hop is having its 41st birthday, and I thought it was always interesting that the street gangs of New York City could be so tired of killing each other that they didn't need the police bashing their head in. It was like, hey, let's make a truce. And then the only way you could settle of any kind of discrepancy is you had to battle in either breakdance,
whatever,
graffiti, DJing, or MCing.
Right.
Now, that's crazy. Okay, and we're going to get into the political implications of how hip-hop kind of turned, you know what I mean, but we got plenty of show freaking to talk about that. But for all you guys at home, if you want to talk to the MC, poet, Rob J, if you want to talk to the Gat, if you want to talk to your main man, Graffiti Blue, please call in to 646-668-8287. We are broadcast. This is our first podcast. Shout out to Shaki and his in Southside, Jamaica, Queens. I'm going to put you on the spot, fellas. I need your lyrical top 10 MCs. I was talking to a man today. And he put me on some Lupe Fiasco. He was a little upset that I put Lupe in the top 10. And then he let me hear a couple of songs. I can't front. Lupe, if you're listening, I was fronting on you. But you're pretty dope. I heard it. I'm gonna have to download you on iTunes probably on payday, but I'm just saying. But Rob J, give me your top 10.
Well, first off, first 1A, 1B would be Pac and Big.
Okay.
All day.
Okay.
Jay-Z does not make my top 10.
Wow.
Sorry.
Wow. Beyonce calling.
I'm just saying.
She's a little upset.
It doesn't make my top 10. For one, I mean, the minute you have Ghost Riders, I just kind of lose respect. Red Meth, I thought directly Wu-Tang, they were killing the game. You have to listen to their albums, you know, repeatedly just to figure out how many angry you with.
Yeah. I think Redman and Black Thought are probably the two most underrated MCs in the game, arguably. But keep going.
A lot of people don't even bring up Brand Nubian.
Okay.
You know, our utmost respect for Mos Def.
Well, it was dope. Mos Def is dope. Yes and Bay. Shout out to Yes and Bay.
Yeah. You know, I'd have to say E-40.
I was talking about him too. I said another underrated
most girl. Underrated rapper to ever grace a microphone. I mean,
because the style is unorthodox.
Unorthodox. People have copied.
Yeah. Okay. Y'all educated me because I'm from the East, and I heard of E when I saw E-40 on the Source.
Yeah.
I was like, WTF? What's that? Yeah. And then I started really listening to
anybody that's in the streets can feel it because it's all real.
Okay.
It's like he's just giving you a cinematic of what people are seeing on the daily. It's not pulling any punches and it's real. So that's why, you know, people that know about the game can relate, but people that are about that mainstream might not vibe as much.
Yeah.
But other than that, I mean, I might roll with, let's see here, I'd probably go with, I don't know.
I think you got two more to go. I think you spit out seven. Loop
is definitely been one of my favorites. I also like Kid Cudi, you know, because Kid Cudi hits you from a different angle.
Okay, I should relate
to the cat at the modest of life with not being a cool kid, or I just appreciate people that not only write their own music but lyrically, you know, they're cool because it's hitting something real. And when you see people that will die hard for an artist, it's because they touch their heart. It's not because I made you dance.
No, that's true. You know, all of the memorable lyrics, MCs kind of touched you in a certain kind of way.
Yeah, absolutely. No disrespect to Jay-Z, but I feel like he made more dance music. You know, like I had problems with even.
Right, that's true. You know, that's true.
I'm just up there like, yeah.
It's all, hey. Now, if Rock Nation was paying the bills, I might feel some sort of way. But Rock Nation is not paying the bills, and it is what it is. Who's your top 10, G?
I mean, I'm gonna have to start off just like you started off. 1A, 1B.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Big,
gotcha.
I like Jay-Z. I'm a whole fan. I think he kind of did some real genius stuff with his marketing. That's why I like what he did, you know, especially with the...
The business side, he's crazy. Yeah, I wish that app was working a little bit better, but the idea was right. The idea was crazy. Shout out to Rock. Send it, Rock. Beyonce, if you're listening, send your check to gblu.com and let my man get guest feature.
Yeah. I like Common. You know what I mean? Common was one of them dope rappers. You know, I'm where I'm from and where I'm at. You know what I mean? I come from, you know what I mean, nothing, you know what I mean?
Gotcha.
So I listen to a lot of street music, but Common was one of those dudes that made me listen to a little bit more conscious rap, kind of like what Mos Def and Talib did. Those two guys were also on the top.
Common had a run where he was so hungry. I don't think anybody could have beat Common at one time. Common was killing.
Common was dope. And then, you know, those artists kind of like I said, they turned me on to listening to more than what I was listening to.
Right.
I'm a huge Jeezy fan. I ain't going to lie. I love Jeezy.
You like Jeezy?
You know what I mean? Okay. I love Jeezy. You know what I mean? I love Jeezy. Just based on the stuff that he talks about. You know, everybody doesn't want to hear, you know, trap and rap, but me, sometimes that's what I want to hear. For those who know me,
I lived in Atlanta for like 4 years, and I lived in Atlanta when Jeezy came through.
Crazy.
Lord have mercy. He made me want to buy a Lamborghini and a painted green.
But definitely 40. Mac Mall.
Okay.
Where am I at? Seven.
Yeah, I think you got about 7 or 8.
Yep. What is that? 40 Mac Mall. Who else do I like? I like Andre 3000.
You know, we could have a top 10 underrated.
Andre,
only because,
and I like Andre because he wasn't afraid to push the envelope.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. He was really one of the first, like, to really, like, what the fuck is he wearing?
He did a video with a football fan before anybody thought about rap.
You know what I mean? So he wasn't afraid to push that envelope. I'm a huge Kendrick fan. I'm gonna go with Kendrick.
He opened up.
You know, LA. You think about LA. You think about, you know what I mean, low rise and bitches. You know what I mean?
Kendrick.
He kind of opened up your brain a little bit.
Absolutely.
And one more. That's gonna be tough. I'm gonna have to go with the Caucasian hero, man, on Eminem.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
He's a bad boy.
Yeah, that's my team. You know what I'm
saying? Shady, we love you.
Yeah.
I know you got it like that, and we're all lyrical dudes, so give us a chance. And send send Gat a check, send Rob J a check.
Yeah.
Holla at my man Shaq.
It would be spent wisely.
Send GBLEU.com a check. We'll come and you know, hold it down for y'all when y'all out on tour. That top 10 is difficult for me. I'm going to go left. I'm going to just go straight lyrical. I'm not saying that. I mean, all those guys, Andre, 3000, E40, all belong on the list, but I'm just going to do a lyrical list. The bottom four of my top 10 are the four members of Slaughterhouse, Joel Ortiz.
Slaughterhouse, yep.
Joe Budden,
nice.
Crooked Eye,
nice.
You know, and Royce is on another planet right now. Yeah, he blacked out, of course. I'm going to put Jay on there. I'm definitely put Big and Pop on there. And there's not in any necessarily particular order.
Yeah, no order.
I'm going to put Black Thought on there.
Black Thought, yeah.
And M is in another stratosphere right now. I listen to Psychopath Killer, and I'm a very lyrical dude, but him switching up speeds inside of a 4-bar frame to me is crazy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that is very difficult to do, even with a lot of practice. So those guys, you know, that all they do is freaking rap. You know what I mean? And that's what it is. With Kendrick is definitely in my top 10. With an honorable mention to Yes and Bay, Talib Kweli, honorable mention.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they really should be like a top 25. Like nobody was getting shot back then.
Right.
All right. And then guns was popping off, and we all know what happened in the crack era. But outside of the crack era, what happened? You know, when, why did we stop battling, and why was it just more that other shit?
Pride. You know, pride. Nobody wants to lose.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, you got your good sportsman, you got your poor sportsmanship. And then, you know, like with that era, you know, it has a lot to do with, you know, your rank on the totem pole. You know what I mean? You didn't want to be the top man.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, you lose a battle to this new guy. Mm. You're not gonna take that on the chin. You're gonna wanna whoop his ass.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right,
that's where you know what I mean? Everybody wants to be on top, and sometimes just shaking hands and saying, "Oh, this game isn't enough." You know what I'm saying? That's my take. I can't, like, you know, I came up on the end of it. You know what I mean? Like, it was already so many lives lost, and you know, so many things that happened. You know what I mean? I was molded and groomed, you know, with certain etiquette. You know
what
I mean?
Right, right.
So, you know, I wasn't beating up people when I lost the rap battle. You know what I mean? I just go, you know,
right,
and sharpen the skills and come back, you know what I mean?
And you come back for another day.
Absolutely. My dad used to say it's better to say there you go than there you left. You know, so
okay.
You know, that's, you know, meaning you can lose, you know what I mean? You can come back, you know what I mean?
A lot of people that especially, I love my country and all of that, but a lot of people in this country are very comfortable. And a lot of people didn't have those experiences. Just like you, I came from nothing. You know what I'm saying? You know, my stomach wasn't touching my spine, but it certainly, you know all about that government cheese.
Right.
And how hard it is to melt that shit. God damn. So, a lot of people don't understand a hood mentality. So, when you don't have nothing, and I mean, you really got nothing, and all you have really is your hood fame and your skill.
Mm-hmm.
That battle, regardless if it's in graffiti, breakdance, and MCing, or what a DJ's battling, that battle means everything to you.
Right.
You follow me? Because that's all you got. You know what I mean? And if you should lose that battle, even if you're not about that life, like you lost and you're gonna shoot some dude because you lost. That shit is hurts.
Yeah.
You like, oh my god, I lost. I lost a poetry battle to this homeless dude in Atlanta. He tore my ass up, and Graffiti Blue was born. I was like, never again will I get caught slipping.
Right.
You know what I mean? Now, I'm ridiculous with it. Now, I'll keep like 30 joints just on deck for any given day, because I'm just that type of dude.
Right.
You know what I mean? How did you come up, Rob? I know Gap said he was from nothing. How did you come up?
I was born in Oakland, and I was fortunate enough to have both my parents.
Okay, that's right.
And my dad was really about having a fam, and my mom wasn't. So my dad, you know, convinced me to have kids, they had kids, and they were going to stop before I was born, and I was born.
Okay.
And we're going to school in Oakland. Well, I'm sorry, brother. I got to tell it like it is. My brother, he got mopped up by a female.
Oh,
because it's like that, no. Everybody got hands.
Well, you know what? I must
confess. Well, and not just Oakland, but in rough areas,
right?
You fight for yours, you know, and you don't turn the other cheek. You handle it right there. Your parents don't handle it. You get home. So, you know, my parents basically decided, not based off the fact that it was a rough area, but based off the fact that the educational systems were garbage, that they looked up where the best education was. In California, and at the time it was in Carmichael, Sacramento. That's when we moved.
Okay,
so we moved off to Farrell's and Carmichael, and you know, I was fortunate enough to get a good education. Wasn't really like a suburb, but it wasn't really bad either.
Yeah.
So I was fortunate, you know, and what people don't understand about me is, even though I was taken out of a bad situation, unlike my brother, like I thirsted for that, because I thrived to hip-hop culture. I thrived on my cousins that when we get back to family barbecues, they're in Oakland, and I'm like, I don't have none of this. And so even though they took it, I caught myself by the time I got to high school, and I was able to drive.
Okay.
Here I am driving out of the burbs.
Eddie West.
down to the hood.
Right.
And I'm picking up this, I'm picking up that, I'm making this move, I'm making that move. Now I'm in the life they try to keep me out of. And unlike a lot of cats, I was associated with any type of rough flag you want to try to fly. I know people everywhere.
Right.
And I was about that life. And mm-hmm. I loved that life. And I've done some things that now I look back, I'm like, how am I still alive?
Right.
You know, and I wouldn't change a thing. Because, you know, if it wasn't for those experiences, I mean, it wouldn't have made me the person I am today.
Absolutely.
And you know, the thing about growing up in the suburbs, the thing about growing up in America is that a lot of people just go and do what they're told. They don't question anything.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people go to school and they end up in debt till they're 45.
Right.
And then they look back like, okay, I got played.
Like, what happened? Absolutely.
This is a debt society.
Without question.
Everything you do puts you further into a hole. And if you look at any smart people that really have their money together, they have no credit cards.
Right.
And they avoid debt like a plague.
Mm.
They got a nice house that they pay for.
Right.
And they drive little basic vehicles.
Not living beyond your means, which seems like when hip-hop culture, just for the people at home, let's not get it twisted. So because we have a bunch of lyricists in the studio tonight, but hip-hop is a culture. We are celebrating the culture of hip hop. It just so happens that you have some very lyrical dudes in the studio. And what I want to talk about right now is how the decadent era, which is sort of how it lost its way, okay? Like you had coming out of the crack 80s, okay? And you know, record sales was crazy. You know, it did not seem very hard to go gold. You know what I mean? My man Shaqui did a show about street teams. I suggest if you're on Culture Zine Media that you go back into the archives and definitely listen to Shaqui's show. And he had a whole street team, and they was not happy about how a lot of the record companies are considering street teams obsolete. Because of what social media can do, as if you don't need a combination of both. Gat, I saw you perform before I actually shook your hand and we did business.
Right.
You follow what I'm saying?
Right.
I was messing with my man Coon the Poet. Shout out to Coon the Poet.
Cool.
And we were filming something, and he opened for y'all
mm-hmm.
at that, and the place was packed, and y'all was doing your thing. I believe what makes you effective is the fact that you fuck with social media, yeah. But you out there actually doing it.
Right.
Every time I talk to Rob J, ladies and gentlemen, every time I talk to Gat, they're either in the studio, on their way to the studio, doing a show, or talking about some music that they're going to freaking make.
Well.
And that is not me just hyping this shit up for the sake of radio. That is like the realest shit ever. And as long as y'all know me, I'm always busy and doing something.
Gotta be.
And I think especially when Bad Boy Records was killing, shout out to Diddy.
Yeah.
I'm not going to, we do it here. And shout out to Harlem. you know, it was so decadent that people thought that was what it was all about. Like, if I could make it rain in the video and I could have the video look hot, I don't have to do the work. But we all know in this room how hard you have to work. Like, the record deal is just the invitation to more work. Now you really got to work.
Really got to work.
You
with cats to understand, you know, you got, okay, you got your family, you know what I mean? You got things that you have to do in life that are mandatory. Take care of your kids, take care of the wife, take care of your family, you know, education and all that. But aside from all that, music has to be life. You know what I mean? You got to eat shit and sleep that shit every day. Just like you said, if I'm not in the studio, I'm on my way to the studio.
Right.
If I'm not on my way to the studio, I just left the studio.
Right.
And that goes with shows, promo, shooting videos, shaking hands and kissing babies. This has to be life. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, street teams, you know, I don't have a street team, you know what I mean? I'm my own street team, you know what I mean? I pound the pavement, you know, and just because I'm like a tedious person, I want to see the results myself. I don't want to send somebody out there and blow them up and say, hey, did you do this, I'm just going to do it myself, right. You know what I mean? So, you know, if there was like three of me, then I'd get three times the work done.
Right.
But you know what I'm saying? I do it all myself, and my social media presence is there. You know, another thing with street team is what people don't realize, that you can have a social media street team. You got your fan page on Facebook. You got somebody run that for you. Twitter, you know what I mean? You got somebody tweeting out for you. Same with IG. You got somebody, you know, so you can have a social media street team and be just as effective. I believe that you need both, which is why I pound the pavement the way I do. I got CDs and T-shirts in my backpack everywhere I go. My trunk stays full. That's what I do. So music has to be life. And once you get to your quote unquote goal, trust me, you're gonna have another goal. You know what I mean? You're gonna have another. You know, even when you thought that you had a long term goal, that long term goal will be short term. You know what I mean?
Right.
Gonna be something else that you want. My chick tells me all the time, man, you always want something to do. I start on albums all the time, and I finish them, and I start on new albums all the time. I got 2-3 albums that I just do because the idea sparked, and I, you know, and so now I just have these albums, you know. So, but music has to be life. You have to eat, breathe, sleep, and
if I'm not creating, y'all, if I'm not creating, I feel some that kind of way.
Yeah.
You follow what I'm saying?
I'm missing something.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Now, Rob J, I know you're working on an album right now.
Yeah.
I want to talk about the creative process, because Gat got a brand new album, you know what I mean, and we're going to talk about that in a minute, and we're going to let the people know how to get that. But talk about the creative process for a minute. What's your process for going into either making a song, making an album, or what have you?
Well, it starts with me. I was always a fan of music, and I had a lot of love for a lot of artists. And then it got to the point where I really couldn't listen to anything that was coming out. No hate. I'm not hating nobody. Anybody's listening to it. That's you. I'm just saying, I come from a different time period where you had to be about what you're talking about.
Right.
Not
right.
Living a persona that you wish you were.
When the hell did sincerity get played out?
So then, you know, I got to a point where, you know, a lot of my friends growing up always were like, why don't you just put out an album?
Right.
And I told them, I said, the minute you become famous, you're not living anymore. Because now you're required to be here, you're required to be there. And even when you want to go out, let's say me and Gab want to kick it, me and you want to kick it, we want to go get something to eat, we all blow up.
Right.
Where can we go without getting harassed?
Yeah.
Or somebody trying to take a picture of your ass. Right. You know what I'm saying? You feel me? Or catch you just like saying hello to a waitress and now they make something out of it.
Yeah.
Spinning the publicity, now you got some drama. So it's like, it was a life I never really wanted. So I got to a point to where I was listening to all this music coming out, and I was like, you know what, there needs to be something said. And I just didn't really want to make music that was better than what was out.
Right.
I wanted to come from a different angle where you're really talking about something that needs to be out there in the streets, like things that people really need to hear, things that are happening in the government behind our eyes,
mm-hmm.
that's not being put out there.
Oh, we gonna go there.
So it's like, with my album, the direction of my album is, I'm not really coming after artists. I'm coming after politics. I'm coming after America. I'm coming after the flag. I'm coming after all the dirty, underhanded stuff that's going on behind the scenes that people really aren't, they're sleeping on. And I feel like the people that have heard my album, they've been pleasantly surprised. Because you expect a hip-hop album, you expect something that you're really going to dance to. Not to say I don't have a couple songs you can dance to,
right.
You can smoke to, but I have about 8 tracks on 17, you know, track albums that are really going to make you sit back and say, whoa, you know.
How many tracks you got on that, John?
17.
Oh, man, you got a lot to say, homie.
My first album, and I just wanted to come in and really, you know, let people know who I am. And the album is called For the People, By the People. And I really mean that. Like, and what I mean by that is it's for the people.
Okay.
It's like food for thought for the people. Something to make you feel good. Something to maybe inspire you. Something to maybe motivate you. Not one song on the album is going to sound like the next. Like, you're going to have
I hate when an album has every song that sounds the same. Yeah. That shit drives me nuts. Even if it is, like, kind of dope, but they all sound the same, it just really drives me crazy. Yeah, Gab, talk about the creative process, man. You got this new album.
Yeah.
What's the name of the album?
It's called Fame.
Okay.
It's an acronym for all my enemies.
Okay. Nice.
A lot of my albums are serious. You know, album before that was Cutthroat Solitaire. It touched on so many subjects. You know, I was in a previous situation before I dropped Cutthroat Solitaire, so it was really like an emancipation because I got out from under everybody and funded my own projects, made my own money, and became, you know, Cutthroat.
Right.
You know, the title is so self-explanatory.
No doubt.
You wouldn't know it unless I said it.
I actually got Cutthroat. I really enjoyed that album. Yeah.
And but that was kind of like my, you know, me emancipating myself, you know, not relying on nobody, you know. Like I said, I was in a previous situation. And my project before that was Passages of the Nameless. Before that, it was General Mills. So a lot of my projects are serious, and I'm always talking about the streets, and I'm always trying to be the voice for the people that don't have one. So my subjects are real, they're deep, you know what I mean?
Sure.
You know, we're talking about poverty-stricken mother, who, you know what I mean, who's going through life with these babies and no father, you know what I mean? Or we're talking about the gangster, quote-unquote, the hood cat that has no other choice but to be what he is, you know, to the product of his environment. So a lot of my projects are real serious. I'm trying to have fun on them, but it's hard to because I have so much to say. I'm trying to get, you know, issues across, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So, you know, and I've gotten to a certain level to where, man, I just be telling myself, man, just lighten up. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So that's what Fame is. You know what I mean?
Okay. Now, Rob, is your album out now, or are you still working?
It's going to probably come out like mid-December. I was going to have it out. Actually, the date was going to be September, then it got pushed in November, and then I was like, you know what, I'm going to retouch it up, add a little flavor to it, and remaster it, because if I put it out and it's not where it's supposed to be, the point of going through this year or so of independently getting my album together, putting all this work in, I've got no help, no financial backing, just to put out a product at 80%. Mid-December, it should probably be out.
I mean, good, man. As a Christmas gift to all you listeners at home. And I was always told there's never a bad time to come out with a good project.
Definitely.
All right, how do we get your album? I know your album's out.
Yes.
Okay.
It dropped last week on the 12th.
That's something about. Congratulations.
Really nice. Thank you.
Sophomore project, number two. Or like your fifth album.
Yeah. Well, they were like, you know, let's see, up until Cutthroat Solitaire, like I said, the situation, it really just kind of tore me up, you know, album after album. When I got out of the situation, I had all this music. I just gave it away for free.
Right.
So I got a lot of street albums and mixtapes out. Cutthroat Solitaire was my debut album.
Okay, gotcha.
I was working on Cutthroat too, like I said. I have so many issues with my music as far as the point that I want to get across. I was working on Cutthroat too, decided to make it a double disc. So I'm working. And then I got into the studio with my man, El Fingers, and we did one record, and it was a dope record. We put it out, you know, just leaked it, you know.
Gotcha.
And the city went crazy, so we just went on and just banged out a project real quick. So it was just so, like, lightened up with the music. Let's just have fun with the music. And that's what we came up with. And just dropped October 29th. I got the video out.
Gotcha. You total independent, or are you iTunes?
Totally. I'm on iTunes.
Okay.
You know, I'm on the online sites. You know,
okay.
Spotify. I got a distribution deal with City Hall.
Nice.
But I didn't want to put the album in stores just yet.
Right.
Because I spent so much money on putting it up. I want my money back right now. So I told him, y'all got to wait. Let's get 1,000 of them. No, I'm going to sell 1,000 by myself first. Let me get rid of them, and then I'll hit you up.
Absolutely.
That was cool with it. But, yeah, it's on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon, all the best places.
That's
online.
That's tough.
You know, then hit my social sites. I'm out the truck. So.
Okay, that's Datlin. You are listening to Just My Thoughts with Graffiti Blue. You're listening to Culture Zine Radio Network, where urban culture lives. Now, I'm going to keep it a buck with y'all. I would not have y'all in my home office if y'all wasn't some authentic brothers.
Nice office, by the way.
I appreciate it. I'm big fan of it. It's very nice. And thank you very much. And people.com. And I want to talk about authenticity because it has everything to do with hip hop culture, right?
True.
Now, some of my earliest memories are all of the four elements of hip hop coming together. All right. You had your graffiti artists, you know what I mean? They'd be on the block. You had your breakdance crews. They'd be battling on the same block on the same day. You can't battle breakdancing without music. I mean, you can, but the beats definitely involved. And you had the MCs on the mic hanging out with the DJ. DJ was actually bigger, a more integral part than MC. Right. You know what I mean? When the cameras got involved, the MC took more of the spotlight from them. But now, keep that story in your mind, and I'm going to flash forward to about 2005. I'm at the W Hotel in Atlanta, and they filming Housewives of Atlanta, reality show era. It's going crazy. MTV done started us up with the Real World crazy. Now, I'm inside the W Hotel while they tape it, right? Now, none of the stars of the Real Housewives of Atlanta are fucking with each other. None of them. The cameras is off. They don't talk to each other. The lights come on. It was crazy fake. Everybody, hey, girl, what's good? And they was asking for when the cameras on. But I saw a common theme that extended outside of the culture because I was mentoring young would-be MCs, teaching these little nickels how to rap. And they were doing the same thing. They was rapping about cars they didn't drive. They were talking about clubs they did not party at. Bottles they could not afford to pop. Chicks they was not hitting.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And that's why I was saying when Rob Day was going on his spill, I was like, when the hell did sincerity get played out?
Right.
You know what I mean? Talk about the digital era now. Like, it is cool to be able to make a quality album without having to go to a 148-track studio for $500 an hour. That is very cool. But at the same time, Pro Tools, as cool as it can be, got any little runny-nosed dude thinking he the next Tupac Shakur.
Give a nigga a sword, he think he's a samurai.
Q-tip in the face and get away with it. I'm sure you don't be like 30 years in the game and you was a sucker. Shout out to Q-Tip, Fife Dawg, and Ali Shaheed Muhammad. You know what I mean? You follow what I'm saying? But, you know, and they part of the Zulu Nation too. Shout out to Zulu. But he wasn't exactly, hey, he didn't have the gat in his waist, at least. So you really don't have to beat you to make it work if that's not who you are.
True.
So I'm in LA with Lil Man, and he's really acting like he's about that life. And I saw the real thugs was paying attention to him, and they was about to straight steal on him. So my OG ass went up to those dudes. I know it was about to go down, and I said, he's with me. And they looked at me in the face, and not that I'm menacing. I had 6'1", 200 pounds. I mean, you know what I mean? But damn, you know, I really had to save Lil Man. You know what I mean? Because he's about to catch that work.
Right.
You know what I mean? I know you be in the spots and I know you be cruising through. You have problems in the game sometimes that they be trying to test you, Gap.
You know what, man? I'm actually fortunate to not have issues with nobody, mainly because where I'm from, as far as street-wise, you know, we're not Bloods or Crips.
Nice.
So I can go chill with a bunch of Bloods and then say I'm going to slide out and go over here. You know,
okay.
I can leave Oak Park and go to 29th Street. You know what I mean? So just by me being neutral like that, I don't have issues with nobody. I can do music with anybody. I can go anywhere. I can go break. And I'm very fortunate to have that. And with my music as well, like, I don't be on music calling nobody else. You know what I mean?
I don't, you know what I mean?
I mean, you know, we have a certain bravado. You niggas can't fuck, you know, that's as far as, I'm not fucking with Graffiti Blue.
Oh. Right.
I don't do that. You know what I mean?
Right.
My music is, I try to make universal music to where every hood, every age group, your male, your mama, your daddy, your grandpa, your little, everybody, there's something for everybody on my project.
You know,
so I don't, you know what I mean? So I don't have issues with nobody. You
know? No, when I was at the show, what was the spot that night?
The Blue Lamp.
Shout out to the Blue Lamp. They got one of the dopest spots for hip hop culture.
We did the Fame record release party there too last week.
Like,
it was just as packed, just as dope. They got good hospitality. Shout out to Gabby, Blue Lamp, Gabby, local culture.
Okay, yeah, man. Yeah, I really like the venue like a whole lot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And people be coming there to really have fun.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That joint be packed and then everybody's just like, as long as the music's playing, I never had a problem.
Yeah.
Ever. And that's a good look. Shout out to all those cats. We are going to pay a bill. I have to send a shout out to Soul Bridge Records and all the people. Shout out to Universal for giving me this opportunity and giving me my own show. I want to segue a little bit and ask you fellas, what is your knowledge? Now, I know I'm on some New York shit, so, you know, I know my memory is, you know, I was a graffiti artist, so I remember all the graffiti artists. What do you guys have a graffiti culture that you remember out here on the West Coast?
That came kind of lightweight with the housing, because where I went to school at Wilsey Wood Middle School, shout out to Wilsey Wood Spartan, who's that? The houses were also the graffiti artists. You know what I mean?
So
they would set up their little meetings. They would come through 10, 20 feet each. And while they were housing and bust moves on that cardboard, the homie would be right behind them spray painting the wall. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, you know, it came with it. And in the winter, you know what I mean, there's stuff that has to stay up on the wall. And we go to the next day, like, a mad crew must have whooped their ass.
You know what I mean? I was pretty sure that graffiti was a part of it, you know what I mean? But I know that California did not necessarily have the subway culture
no.
that New York had. You follow what I'm saying?
Right, exactly. Right. So you just can't just, you know, write your graffiti on the side. You know what I mean? I know it's easier to get busted.
It's easier to get busted.
You know what I'm saying? A lot of the graffiti out here, we find at parks. You know what I mean?
Really?
Like those parks are in the back of the grocery store, the building where they load up to sit at, just some random guy spits in the neighborhood that has to come out and whitewash the next day. So it really wasn't like how, like, I would see pictures of, like, whole trains.
I'm not a historian on the joint, but I want to guess that chemical that strips the spray paint off the trains in New York came out in the early 80s. And so, you know, guys are doing whole burners. Shout out to the Public Vandals of Queens, my old graffiti. And it was, you know, it was like, man, you were a young dude and you spent $100, $200 on spray paint.
Right.
And you opened it the last one day. You know what I mean? But it has to get their graffiti inside of the a gallery. You know what I mean? They would take them up and then it started with that and the internet. The culture started going to the seats.
Right.
All
right.
So I'm going to ask all of y'all this question. We talked about where the culture came from. We talked about where it's at. You know what I mean? Especially with Project coming from Rob J in December. The GAME acronym is out right now. Support this man. Where's the game going? Where do you think that I was talking with you, bro. Where do you think it's going?
Well, one point I wanted to make is that, and no disrespect to the East Coast, I got nothing left from the East Coast. My first artist that brought me into hip hop was the East Coast.
Okay.
But the culture of hip hop started in Africa. If you go back, they even have video footage of this. Politics were solved in Africa through rap battles. A lot of people don't know that.
Okay.
Your politicians in Africa had to be gifted with the gab.
Oh, without question. No, I agree with you. The gift of auditory verse did not, with all due respects to Kool Herc, African Bambaataa, and, you know, Busy B, and the list goes on. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? There's nothing new under the sun. You know what I mean? Absolutely.
And I feel like you can go back and see that they had dance-offs that would prevent a war from happening between two different tribal villages.
Okay.
So those are some of the things that they don't really put in history books because they want to label a lot of our culture as being violent. But our culture back in, that's where hip-hop really generated.
Absolutely.
We didn't have graffiti back then. But,
right. Well, you can argue it might not have been a spray can.
Might not have been a spray can. Step into it, you need to respect what came before you. Now, I'm not trying to name drop, but there was a female artist. We'll just try to keep it neutral.
I got my own show. You can name.
Okay, so you got Iggy Azalea. Okay. She gets a Grammy. Come on, you're killing me. Okay. She now was messing with T.I. T.I. has got her on the label, right?
Right.
He took her to meet Q-Tip. And she was like, who is this? And he was like, this is Q-Tip, blah, blah, blah. She goes,
wait. Iggy did not know who this Q-Tip
was. Not only did she not know who Q-Tip was, she disrespected him to his face. She was like, who do you mean? Nobody knows him, whatever.
What?
Yeah.
And T.I. was like,
oh, wow.
Because, but I'm going to say this, though, man. I'm going to piggyback off of what he's talking about as far as our culture. You have to think about what we are allowing. You know what I mean?
I agree. That is absolutely true.
In our culture, our hip-hop culture, our black culture, the way we talk, the way we dress, the way we walk, the way we put our music out, there's no other culture, Chinese, white, Hispanic, Jewish, that will allow another race to exploit their culture the way we allow the white man, the white girl, the white boy got gas, Asian dude was born. You know, there's no other culture that will allow such fuckery to invade their culture. You know what I mean?
That is extremely true. So when
you look at the Grammys, and you know, you look at these award shows, and you say, how the fuck did Macklemore beat Kendrick Lamar? You know why? Because you let Macklemore in on our culture to do what he pleases to do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, if we, you know, and I'm not a racial person. I'm not a phobe with any race, any.
No, I don't even see color like that. Absolutely.
But we have. There's nothing that we hold sacred to our culture that we say no. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like I said, I don't see any other race. How many black country singers are there? You know what I mean?
How many
black mariachi dancers are there?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? How many black geishas do you see in China? You know what I mean? There are no other races. There are no other cultures that will allow their way of life, their way of music, their way of living to be exploited the way we allow our culture. If this is ours, then it's ours. You know what I mean? Can't get mad when Iggy did what she did with Q-Tip, because she don't know shit. She's from Australia.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but you allow her to come into your culture, you know what I mean? And so we have to be more disciplined, and we have to be more, you know, close-circuit with what the fuck we do. Otherwise, it's just going to blow up all over the place.
Without question. That is going to bring me, I'm going to tie this all together, but before I do, wait a minute, I did not know that about the Q-Tip thing.
Oh,
she fucking...
Shout out to Q-Tip.
I saw a Tribe Called Quest, me and my man Vaughn went to the off one night. And man, I saw a Tribe. They tore that thing down. When Can I Kick It first shot?
Oh,
it was nuts, man. So if Iggy don't know you, Q, I know you. And actually, I'm actually connected to Q-Tip by 6 degrees of separation. Q-Tip gave my man Hoodstarovsky. Shout out to my man Hoodstarock. He was on the remix to the scenario.
Unmuted.
Yes.